Julia. And they're all taking pictures and like Alfred Romeo. I'm like, it's Romeo. It's Italian.
Like I said, $80,000 car, $500 laptop.
Hey, this laptop was like $2,800, but it was like $2,800 8 years ago. So it's a little old now.
Yeah. It makes you let's see. We're only like 7 minutes late.
Hey, we've been like half hour late before, so yeah. this is a good sign.
Which means we're still 8 minutes early if you're on anarchist or libertarian time.
Perfect. Are we like? I see that we're live. Are we recording now? I just got food delivered. Okay, well I'm not gonna eat food on the live.
No, it's fine. Eat it. It's fine.
Eat it.
This is an anarchist podcast. You're fine.
Hey, we've had a guy on here. I mean, it's been a while, but he literally had his window down as he drove in his truck on the highway in the middle of the show.
Oh, we had Chris was working on the SUV in the garage, and you can hear him because he didn't bang it. You can hear him banging away.
Good time. You can hear him.
I feel better now. Maybe it looks good.
Yeah, sometimes you can hear him doing the reloading. Ammo reloading too on mic. That's just
really
yeah
you'll hear that going. Or well, when he was working on the lawnmower and we just heard crash and he goes fuck, and then it just cuts and we're like, Chris, are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh man.
So, you're fine.
All right, cool.
So but hello, welcome to another fantastic episode of Anarchy Among Friends Roundtable Discussion. Before we get started, let me first remind you that we are covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, which allows for the use and this reuse of this podcast by anyone and everyone except for governments and the bloodies thereof. Chris says, never forgot that in the chat. You guys talking about him. We're also covered by Brandenburg v. Ohio in 1969, which ruled that the government cannot punish inflammatory speech unless that speech is, quote, directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. Therefore, everything said here on Anarchy Among Friends Roundtable Discussion is entirely hypothetical. This is episode 239. We have a special guest, the Wicked Witch of the West. Which I think that's a local moniker.
Now it's global, but yeah, started locally for sure.
Yeah, Miss Tara Lynn Romero, who came on our radar as a property rights battle. We are a big fan of property rights on the show. So yeah, who are you, and give us the elevator pitch of what happened.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on your podcast. This is so exciting.
We tried before, and you were like, no, I can't. There's litigation. Right. And
I remember saying no. And you know why I said no? Because at the time I was like talking on my TikTok while I was in active litigation. So I'm going to give the elevator pitch here. But the government was trying to paint me as dangerous. So it's funny that you just went through that preamble, because they were like, oh, you know, she's getting people worked up. And I'm like, the last thing I need to do is go on a podcast with the word anarchy in it. Because they'll take it and run. Like, they were running with everything I did. So I had to be really careful. So now that that's all settled, and for folks that don't know who I am, I live in Colorado, born and raised, been here for a real long time. And just bought a property, like so many of us hope to do, in 2021. It was like at the height of the housing crisis, height of the pandemic, bought a house with my fiance and my stepdaughter, moved in, had Bear Creek running through the backyard, couldn't wait for summer. I bought in winter. You know, there's like snow everywhere. It's real peaceful. I'm like counting down the days till summer. I move in at the end of March, and my dream property ends up going from, you know, something that I thought was going to be, you know, a peaceful existence to a complete nightmare. Shortly after I bought my home, I had, you know, 55 people in my backyard. I border a public park, and I expected that some people might be wandering through because the property wasn't fenced, but I did not expect 55 people, you know, umbrellas, coolers, tents, grills, dogs, blankets, tent. I mean, it was a lot. It was insane. And, when I started talking to folks, what I found out was that the prior owners of my house had given people permission to use the property, like as an extension of the park that borders my backyard. And I tried that for a little while. It did not work out well. You can't have 55 people in your backyard. I barely have any property. You know, Josh was talking about 40 acres, looking at a place with 40 acres. My entire property was just under like 7.7 acres, so 0.68, so really small. And anyway, when I started exercising my property rights to get the public out of my backyard, liability was a huge issue, but they were also like trashing the place. I got sued by Jefferson County. All three publicly elected commissioners sued me in like five different ways to take my backyard from me and give it to the public. And obviously that wasn't going to fly. I had like all the paperwork. I did all the due diligence, everything you need to know when you're buying a house, you know, a survey, you know, getting an investigator, getting title insurance or an inspection, not an investigator, you know, but I did all the things right. And everything lined up. I'm like, this is my dirt. So did a hell of a battle, went on social media and talked about it the entire time. Cause I'm like, if elected officials are going to sue one of their own constituents when everything says it's my property, just because my neighbors want access to it and they want to force me to share, I think the public needs to know. So despite the advice of every single lawyer I had, I started talking on social media, blew up, met the Inked Anarchist through those channels, which was pretty cool. And now, you know, a year or, you know, 2 years later, now that I've settled with the government and the lawsuit has been dropped, I did keep the majority of my property. I did have to give away some. Now I'm able to come and talk about it on the podcast. So very happy to be here.
Speaking of TikTok is where this blew up, right? Yeah. Where things really started getting attention, and you had a lot of people. You had some people local, but you had a lot of people from outside the area calling, writing, commenting on the Kittredge and on the county social medias, to the point where like the government official social medias were like blocking people and deleting comments, and they had to come out and make a public apology because of a lawsuit for that. And
that was actually a separate issue, believe it or not. So it's all part of like the same thing. So after I settled with the government, so Jefferson County sued me, but then the Parks Department had a surveillance camera pointed at my property after they had explicitly told me that they would not ever do that. And so I was like, hey, you know, and it was like past the point where it was excusable. It was like for 3 weeks I had evidence of the camera pointed at my property. So I went on TikTok. I told everyone about it. Like you said, people all over the world descended on the park's Facebook page. You know, why do you have a camera pointed at this woman's house? You know, they were calling for resignations. And they freaked out and they started blocking and deleting people, allegedly, you know, but I mean, the evidence appears to be there. And then I got my First Amendment lawyer involved. I'm like, hey, this is like running afoul in all kinds of ways, violation of privacy, violation of freedom of speech. So we sent him a CORA request on nice legal letterhead and made the paper. And it was a whole big to do. And yeah, they did have to issue an apology. So you know, we just keep people accountable through social media.
Yeah, our buddy Dave asks, is it legal for public officials to block folks? Not if it is on their official government social media. If it is your official government social media blocking and deleting comments, that's a First Amendment violation.
Yep.
Our buddy in Southern California, that came about. He got blocked by his local sheriff, and he sued his local sheriff and won an apology and $5. And donated the $5 to the sheriff's competition for the next election.
That was
fantastic. But that like was that one guy. Of the, yeah. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, but Aries Armor. I remember that he used to run Aries Armor. But it's very cool. But the TikTok, you were speaking out to the point where like they threatened to hold you in contempt of court, right?
Yes, and I cannot speak about that.
Smart woman. Oh, there's so much more story now, and I know it.
There is so much more story. Yes, Yes. Yeah. We can call the fiancé in here. He can talk about that. I cannot.
I mean, we joke on this show all the time about, you know, my I cannot speak to that on advice of my attorney, but like you legitimately can't speak to that on the advice of your attorney. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's funny, you know, because the attorneys have just had to come to terms with the fact that I'm just going to do whatever it is I want to do. And we've had conversations, right? I'm like, you guys own the court of, you know, court of law, fact as a matter of law, let me deal with the court of public opinion. But there are some things where it's like, yeah, it's just, it's a hard no. It's a hard no. Everything else, you know, it's fair game. But some things, unfortunately, unless I, you know, get like paid a lot of money to speak, I cannot.
Ain't none of us got a lot of money to pay.
Yeah, that ain't here. That ain't here.
Quote, comments made by Tara Lynn in response to her TT Army puts me in fear for my life, the lady wrote on the application for the protective order.
Cannot talk about that. I cannot
I know you're not commenting. I'm commenting.
Yeah, no, hey, I love it. Go run it down.
Well, and if I remember right, I mean, you talked about the fact that, like, during the course of all of this, like, your neighbors were, like, the community were just harassing the shit out of you. I mean, they're being absolutely fucking awful people.
Yeah. Hold on. I have a quote I have to read. I'm not going to mention the lady's name.
Okay.
But she said, quote, "You're not sensitive to our memories, and you're treating us so terrible that we're your neighbors." I was like, you're not just going to come in here and take something from us for your profit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the amount of entitlement
to someone else's property.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why my motto now is don't share. Don't share your property. If you have property and you've got a lot of it and you feel like you want to share with your neighbor, just don't. Don't do that. Because, you know, what should be gratefulness turns into entitlement at a certain point. And I know the lady that said that quote. And if I'm correct, she was actually a witness in the case against me. And she gave a detailed account of how prior owners gave permission to the Parks Department and they gave permission to the community for them to use the land. And then when she realized that made my loss, my case against adverse possession for me, she was like, oh, no, wait, never mind. I didn't mean that. What I meant was they donated it. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and I work in real estate. So like that's my day job is in real estate. Yeah. Like I'm not an agent. I do mortgages. But so like I work with title companies, title insurance companies across Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa and Illinois. And like as I was watching that and like, you know, and you talking about how like what the selling realtor had done and everything else, I was going, oh, my God, I literally don't know how many laws were broken in the case of this, but it's a lot.
Yeah. So many.
Because I mean, like in the title insurance agency, when they did the title work, they have to ensure that there's no liens. There's nothing adversely affecting the property. There's nothing there. They also, I mean, the deed language has to be confirmed, all of these things. And like none of that shit got done. None of it.
Well, it all did get done, but it wouldn't have uncovered anything. And I think that's the scariest part about all of this. There were no easements. There were no liens. There were no, and the seller, because Colorado is not a buyer beware state, which basically means all the legal responsibility is on the seller to disclose, like, is the public using the property? Are there any paths on the property? You know, any sort of infringements they have to disclose. They did not. That's what I'm alleging, and we have evidence for it. But yeah, you're right with the title insurance. And it's funny, when I bought my first house, this is my second house, I did not get title insurance on my first house. I was like, why? But on this house, I did because it was the housing crisis, and I was worried that just because of the flash sale, that maybe, you know, I might want to like double down on some assurances for this purchase. And thank God I did, because I absolutely needed it. But nothing came up. I mean, everything was pristine on paper, because on paper, it all lined up. It was my property, no easements, nothing like that. And so, you know, the title company, in my opinion, could probably sue the prior homeowners as well for fraud. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and was the usage like word of mouth, or was it like written down somewhere, or?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was not written down. It was like, you know, it was back in the day of our grandpas. Handshake, man. It was a handshake. And it was a handshake in the 80s. And the town back then, no, like Kittredge is in between. If anyone's familiar with Colorado listening in, Kittredge is in between Evergreen and Morrison. And there's no reason to stop here, or there wouldn't have been in the 80s. And, you know, people weren't coming here to like enjoy the creek or whatever. They were going to Evergreen if they were going anywhere. Or they were stopping in Morrison. And so that handshake agreement for the community to use the backyard was like, oh, you know, I know these community members. I know their kids. They go to school together. We celebrate Christmas together. Like everyone knows each other by the first name. So it was just a very different time. And they didn't think to put anything in writing. And so we call it the handshake agreement. And like I said, they tried to walk it back. Even the county, when they found out that permission had been given and their own witness gave a detailed account, the county tried to walk back their very own witness testimony, and we had to file a motion with the judge to say they can't do that. And she refused to read it, actually.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. So how did this all start? What caused you to do the property lines and all that good stuff?
I'd like to enforce my rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that first year I was like so confused, man. Like my backyard is not fenced. It borders a park. I expect it kind of to be wandering through.
From your videos, it looks like you're up on like a little bit of a mesa where the house and stuff is, and there's a big drop to the creek.
Yeah.
And then it goes out towards the road, right? Or towards the park.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in like it's funny that you call it a mesa. It kind of does feel that way back in like 1926. So a long time ago, like, you know, about 100 years ago, there was a massive flood, and almost overnight, the creek went from like here to here. And that mesa that I'm on was because of that flood. The dirt just dropped. It was like a massive erosion. And so that's why my house, for people that don't know, my house is like on a mesa on a hill. And then there's a steep drop, and then there's the creek. And then my backyard is over here because the creek used to be here, and it used to be one piece of land, and you could just walk down. And then when the flood happened, the creek moved over here right next to the house in this huge eroding wall. And so that's why, you know, people were very confused when I started exercising my property rights. They're like, it doesn't make sense. Your house is up there. How do you get to your backyard? I'm like, don't worry about that. Don't worry about how I get down here. I have a survey.
That's where the assumption on the county side comes from. Oh, your property rights go to the creek. Well, if the creek moves, right, your property rights don't move because they're GPS located and all that good stuff, right? Or supposed to be.
Yeah. Assumption's a kind word. In my opinion, I don't think any of that was an assumption whatsoever. They know better. They know how to read a map. They know how to read. Yeah.
That's the same issue there was a couple of years ago on the Red River, Texas and Oklahoma. Ranches that were on one side, well, the river moved, so now they have ranches on both sides. And Oklahoma came in and said, "Oh no, this is our property now. These are our cows on our side of the river." And there was a big lawsuit. There was almost some Bundy style standoffs that almost happened, but they, you know, court got in the way of that one. But the river moving, you know, the assumption or the claim. Oh, river moved. It changes your property rights, right? Oh, so now I'm still being taxed, but I have 200 less acres, right?
Yeah.
That's how it was with you, right? If the river moved, right, but you're still being taxed on that extra piece of land.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the funny thing is, like back in the day, probably even more so than now, you know, people who were writing deeds and the people who lived in this house right here, my house, and who owned my property, they're the same people who created Kittredge. So I live in the Kittredge house, the Kittredge family. This is their house. This is their property. And they platted the entire town. And the creek runs through the whole thing. And like they knew better than to make a creek a boundary. So the deed was written in a very specific way where it's like a point in time, right? It mentions the creek, but the creek is not the boundary. It's just a point in time reference. And regardless of any of that, to your point, I was still paying taxes on the land. And I had to pay for a $10,000 fluvial geomorphologist analysis for them to come out and determine, did it move slowly over time, which is what, when you're arguing that a boundary line changes because the creek moves, if it moves slowly over time, which is called accretion, then you can have a valid argument. If it moves through flooding, which is called avulsion, then you do not have a valid argument that the boundary changes because the creek moved. So I had to pay for a $10,000 study for them to come out and tell us what we already knew, which was it was a flood.
That was a flood. Yeah, a flood of that scale would have been like big news. Like everyone in the area would have known that that happened and that a creek moved by a significant amount of distance.
Yeah.
So it's not like that was a mystery that that had happened. And clearly, like, you're not the first owner since that flood, right? That's not the first change of hands. So obviously, this has been documented that the property line is not the creek more than once in more than one previous transaction.
That's 100% right. In fact, the very first owner who owned the property during the flood was the Kittredge family. And I think the creek flooded and moved maybe a year after they had gotten the property, maybe a couple years. And so, which is funny because when they built the park that sits next to my backyard, they built the park in the 80s, I think 1986. And the flood happened in 1926. And so to argue that because the creek moved, my land was now their land, I'm like, but it was already there when you built your park and your own survey says it was not yours. So, you know, though the whole thing is just preposterous. When I call it a frivolous lawsuit, it's a casebook definition of frivolous, you know, the things that I was being taken to court for.
Government never does anything frivolous. Never. What are you talking about?
No.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people too who tried to say, like, oh, well, this is, you know, just an example. You know, she's suing all these people and everything. This is just an example of the litigious society we live in. Well, I think the government suing a homeowner to take a chunk of their property because Billy Joe Bob goes there sometimes to go swimming. Yeah. I think that's kind of the definition of a litigious fucking society, right? Yeah, there. Not responding.
Yeah. Thank you very freaking much.
Yeah, that's what it. They did try to seize it, right? They threatened to use eminent domain, or tried to use eminent domain.
You know, they did not use eminent domain in the beginning. They tried adverse possession. They tried prescriptive easement. Mm-hmm. They tried a bunch of things. And then when they started to realize that their case for that was not that strong, mm-hmm. they started to lean more into acquiescence, which is a version of adverse possession where it's like, well, you didn't build anything. You didn't put a fence. So you basically gave it up. And then they tried to use intent, and that was, they were very giddy about that. There was someone at the county who was like, it's never been tried before. Let's try it. And what they were trying to argue was that the person who wrote the deed language intended something different than what he wrote, that he intended for the creek to be the boundary. And if the creek moves, then the land moves. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And then when they did bring up eminent domain, that I haven't made a post about this ever. So you guys are hearing this for the very first time. But when they came to the table with a settlement offer, the first couple rounds of the settlement offer, I was like, yeah, it's a no deal for me. Like, we'll just go to court. And at some point they were like, well, if you don't take this offer, we're going to eminent domain you. I was like, do it. Go ahead. Let me see what it looks like when you eminent domain me. And I think what they were going to go after was blight. And so I use ChatGPT, and it's like, if they go after you for blight, they have to hold a public town hall. They have to do like all these other things. I'm like, they're not holding a public town hall and giving me one more reason to like get, you know, hundreds of thousands of people behind me. But they did threaten
it. Your TT army?
The TT army. Yeah, I know. How ridiculous.
One of the reasons in a previous video that you talked about, one of the reasons was insurance, right? That was one of the reasons for the signs and fighting as hard as you did is if somebody got hurt, right, being the actual legitimate property owner, mm-hmm. right, they could sue you. They're not going to sue the county because the county, we don't own it. Right? Like that's what it came down to. So they got hurt. They tried to sue the county. Sam's like, oh no, it's her property. We don't have anything to do with that.
No, that's not our property. That's hers.
They would have pivoted so fast. I mean, I never want anyone to get hurt, but if someone had gotten hurt, that would have solved it so freaking quick. Oh, Mr. Romero, that's yours. Mm. But yeah, that was a huge concern because in Colorado, when it comes to like getting injured, you know, even if you have like a million like private property, no trespassing signs up and someone trespasses and gets hurt, you can still be found liable for that. And so, you know, it's just terrifying because of course people want a quick paycheck. I have a creek and I've got a playground intended for toddlers. And drowning, you know, is a big cause of death for a lot of little ones. And we had someone drown on my property maybe 30 years ago, 4-year-old boy, drowned in the creek and then floated 70 yards downstream and they couldn't find him for like 5 or 6 hours or something. And so it was a real concern for sure.
Yeah. At the same time that was happening, there was another story in Colorado of a man who had a hiking trail that went across his property.
Yeah, I met with him, John.
Yeah, John. Okay. And he couldn't even get insurance on the property. Because of this hiking trail, because people could get hurt because it was a 7-mile loop and it connected like a couple of different 14,000 foot peaks. And it was like a legitimately used trail that, you know, had a lot of activity. And the insurance companies are like, no, we can't insure you. Mm-hmm. And there was some legislation that had started in the Colorado House, I think, that was making its way through, but that didn't pass. And this legislation would have protected property owners from public mm-hmm. recreational use or something, whatever the term was.
That's
right. That failed. When that failed, he closed it. No, I'm not allowing this anymore. And they bought his property like 300 acres.
They did to
keep this trail open.
Yeah, they did. And you know, funny thing about all that is the reason that did not pass was because the largest lobbyist group for Democrats in Colorado is the trial attorneys. I don't mm-hmm. know what their lobby group is, but the trial attorneys are the ones that killed that bill. And when I spoke to John, he said that when they were, you know, making final arguments for the bill to protect property owners, the Democrats walked out. Now, I wasn't there. I haven't seen the video, but he told me that they walked out. They didn't even hear what they had to say. And then when it came time to vote, they walked back in. And of course, they all voted no. So that's interesting. And, you know, I learned a lot from that guy because apparently when he first started kind of butting up with the government about his property and public access, the government, as usual, was like, oh, it's not your land, it's our land. And they brought in a federal surveyor. And the federal surveyor was like, no, this is private property. And the federal surveyors are like the holy grail of the survey, like the top of the hierarchy, right? So if a federal surveyor is saying it's private property and John owns it, then that's the end word. And so they freaked out. And this was like 16 years ago. And they said to John, we will trade you an equal amount of land for your land because it is your land. They were in a full-blown panic. And he was like, all right, that sounds good. And then he never held their feet to the fire. He never made sure they followed through. And so when I met with him last year, he still didn't have a resolution. He's like, I think I'm going to write him a letter. I was like, oh boy, you know, I'm sure that's going to have a big effect 16 years later. Yeah. And so I was glad to hear that he finally just sold it because he really didn't have any other option. It was either sell it or lose it because they were 2 years shy of adverse possessing it at that point. They had built a parking lot on it. So.
Oh God. That's so typical that like so many people, they, especially when it comes to government, they're like, they have all these attorneys, they have all this stuff. I don't want to go through all that, whatever. I'll just trust them to do something legitimate. Never, ever trust government to do something in anyone's best interest except their own.
We covered not long ago, there was a story or case out of Montana where a guy has a Forest Service road that goes literally like 10 feet in front of his house, a Forest Service road. He closed it, right? He was tired of tourists. Tourists would go through and they would stop. Like they would stop in front of his house, like at some rest stop destination, ask to use the bathroom and look around and oogle and ogle at all his, you know, farm equipment. And he's like, no. And right. And he closed the gate, and the Forest Service threatened to arrest him for closing the gate to his property. And that's what they claim. Oh, historical use is what the Forest Service claimed. It's a historical use road. So yeah. you can't stop people from coming onto your property because the previous owners allowed people to use this road.
It's scary stuff, man. Mm-hmm. And it made a lot of sense, like at the early, stages of this country where we were settling and, taking land from the Indians, of course, it made sense to be like, oh, you can't just go and claim like 3,000 acres and then not use it. Like at some point, if someone else is using it, they get it. If they're making better use of it. And so the olds, the laws have like an antiquated origin that no longer makes sense for today's world. And it's unfortunate to see so many property owners really being, just given the shaft, quite frankly, on the whole matter. And it's frustrating, to some degree, like John, the guy you were talking about with the trail, he literally owned a mountain. You can argue, should someone own a mountain or not own a mountain? But regardless, those antiquated laws are big trouble. I think they should be abolished. Adverse possession, abolished. It just makes for bad neighbors and gives people a reason not to share.
And it's really, it's kind of like a twofold, right? So you have those terrible laws, but then you also have a society that society is changing, right? Mm-hmm. The mentality of people, the idea of privacy, the idea of property rights, of private property rights, of the desire to, or I'm going to do whatever I want to do, right? Regardless. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I noticed a lot in yours, especially like reading the comments, reading a few articles. There's a lot of comments mm-hmm. and a lot of quotes from people that they didn't care at all that it was your property.
Right.
Like the quote that I read earlier, she's not taking our memories into account. Right.
Yeah.
Right. She's not taking our feelings into account mm-hmm. when she's closing her property that she paid for, that she's taxed on.
Yeah.
Right? You make me feel bad.
Complete disregard for your feelings. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that in the early stages, that was one of the most frustrating things that I had to endure, was just the constant and complete lack of empathy. I'm like, how the heck do you think I feel? I mean, my direct neighbor, right? She comes in, she introduces herself when we first buy the home. She brings us a loaf of bread. We never ended up eating it because I didn't cover it properly. So we just threw it in the trash. Thank God, because I think it was all like cursed, a little trick. But anyway, she comes over, she introduces
Never trust a Faye.
No. And she's like, I place a lot of value in being neighborly, and like I'll always come talk to you and you guys come talk to me. And then when I started exercising my private property rights, she went on Facebook and she was like, I'm really hurt. I am really just hurt by this. And it was, it was a boomer dialogue on Facebook. And I went, and I've never told this story publicly. So here's like, there's so much, and I probably shouldn't be spilling the tea here. I was so pissed. I'm like, you're hurt. I'm like, first of all, how do you think I feel? Second of all, you said you would come talk to me, and now you're posting it publicly. And before I was ever, TikTok viral, I was a sitting duck on the community pages. Thousands of people were just coming for me, and I had no voice. I had no advocacy from others. I was completely alone, with the exception of just like a handful of, family and friends. And anyway, I taped on my fence that faces her property, are you hurt? 8x11 was each letter, painted each letter on an 8x11 with a question mark. I'm like, are you hurt? Like, really? And the whole town was talking about it, man.
Oh,
like fucking Martin Luther, just nailing it to the dark.
I know. Well, I don't know if you guys know, but another one of my neighbors on the other side of my house, I have the worst neighbors in human history. Another neighbor on the other side of my house called, this was after the lawsuit was filed, and every single person around me was a witness in the lawsuit for the most part. And the day that I got sued, I'm pretty sure, I was sitting outside. I get to work from home, so I'm sitting outside. I put Martin Luther King on as loud as I can. I'm like, I need to be inspired by a man who conquered, the greatest adversity, right? I just need inspiration, even though the situations are not the same. So Martin Luther King's on full blast. I'm sitting outside, and then I get a call from my lawyers, and they're like, "You got to shut that Martin Luther King off." I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah, your neighbors are saying that you're witness intimidating them and you're harassing them," and they called the county attorney. I'm like, "You have got to be kidding me. This is insane."
Ah, yes, the intimidating nature of a reverend saying, "I have a dream."
Yeah, right.
Well, they're truly from Tulsa, incredibly Oklahoma. Threatening.
They're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, you know, I'm sure they have relatives.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, they're from Tulsa. Yeah, they probably didn't like Martin Luther King much.
Yeah. So it makes sense, you know.
And we're giving people all kinds of homework to go look up as we reference this stuff, like legal terms, science terms, the Tulsa race riots. Like,
I know. Well, it's fun talking to you guys about this because you all, you know, and I appreciate that you've been following my story as closely as you have, but you all are also very educated on the terminology and just kind of the general landscape of things. Often when I do podcasts, which it's been a while, this is the first podcast I've done since I've settled. You know, I don't even use the legal terminology just because, you know, the audience isn't a good fit. But I sense something different here. You guys have a good audience based on what you
know. Our buddy Chris says, too bad your property didn't come with a used Komatsu.
Like a nice D20, maybe, some plate steel, a welder.
Little Grant Granby reference there.
Granby, Colorado, woo.
We even have a friend. She's not on the show tonight. She hasn't been in a while because she's super busy or anything. But Derica down in Virginia, the edge of her property has a historical marker for it's John Wilkes Booth, right? Like it's a stop I think that John Wilkes Booth made on the edge of her property.
It's the trail that he took to the Mudd farm.
Okay,
right to Samuel Mudd's farm. So. But they came out of nowhere and cut her tree and put a marker on her property. And she was pissed. She was very pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People get real sensitive about the trees. And if they're a certain diameter, you can get paid for the, you know, legally, you can get paid for those.
Well, and she's always ticked because she said that once they put it up, like it wasn't even necessarily that they put it up because it's fairly close to the edge of the property and everything else. But she said, the problem is the entitlement that people feel now that there's that marker there. People will just walk across my land and just like take pictures and wander around my land because there's a marker on the edge of it. Like, yeah. No, this is private property. Get the hell off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking on the entitlement, tell us about the videos of the people in the creek yelling and screaming in the trash and.
Oh my gosh.
What you can say without.
Oh, I can talk all day about that. I can talk all day about that. Oh yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, you know, and that's such a headache, right? Because when you're dealing with the public's already a nuisance. Like I love people individually. Mm-hmm. People as a whole, it's a hard pass for me all day, every day. Like I especially after going through this, they're such a nuisance. They're on the whole ignorant. And the ones in the creek, right, that make an appearance in a lot of my TikToks, those are people that think that they're going to come into my backyard on my property and tell me how it is. Oh, I can be in the creek. You don't own the water. No, I'm sorry. You can't be in the creek. In Colorado, I own the land underneath. So there's this constant like need to educate. And the worst part of it, right, because I border a children's playground, again, for toddlers. That's like the age range of the playground. The parents tell their kids this. And so, you know, they would send their kids back and those videos are not online. I do have a repository of interactions with kids in case they ever claimed I was doing something that I didn't do.
Got to protect yourself.
Yeah, because they would use them as weapons. They'd like send the kids in and then they would stay outside of my property and the kids would be in and they'd be doing things that they shouldn't do. And I'd say, hey, you know, you got to go on the other side. You can't be back here. Well, my mom said that you can't own the water and like, you're just a mean lady.
I mean, you can't own the water, but we're going to walk across your property to get
But you're not standing on the water. You aren't Jesus, you little shit. So back off.
We did have one really clever guy this winter walk up the creek. This was after the settlement, right? And we're like, everyone knows it's my property now. He walked on the creek when it was frozen. And my fiance was talking to him. And they were both like, ooh, I don't know. Because now you are walking on water. Like, are you trespassing or are you not?
Touche. Like, I think at that point, like, maybe you deserve to get to walk along because, like, that's clever. All right. Clever, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't do anything. He just told him, he's like, hey, you know, I don't want to test it out, right? And I would just appreciate if you didn't walk back here. But yeah, no, it was very clever. I was like, oh, we got
points,
a smart
points
one.
For creativity.
Yeah, exactly.
Points for the imagination, yeah.
Tip of the hat.
Well, I mean, we see a lot of that. I mean, here in Wisconsin, we have tons and tons of rivers. The where I live in La Crosse is the confluence of seven rivers all right here. One of them is the Mississippi. And so, you know, these rivers and like some of the creeks and things, they run through farmland and everything else. And the way the law reads, like if you want to canoe or float down the river, whatever, that's totally fine. But you are not allowed to get on the bank on either side if you're in private property. And like, it's really well known. Mm-hmm. I mean, fortunately, generally here, it's not really a problem because chances are that bank is completely covered in poison ivy and you want nothing to do with the bank. But especially if you're in swimming trunks, that's a terrible idea. You do not want to go back.
Poison oak or blueberry plant or blackberry plants here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's some of that. We also now have, because it's an invasive species, we have the giant hogweed. That if you get that on you and the sun hits, it causes, like, my grandpa still has huge burn scars on his legs from a few years ago from getting into it because he thought it was like parsnip, you know, just wild parsnip. Oh no, no, it definitely was not. But like he had to stop doing, like, allowing people to camp because he had a section of one of the lower horse pastures where the Kickapoo River came through and it was this flat area, real low lying. It flooded constantly. So it's all mud. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, if people want to like camp here, like no big deal. And then his attorney was like, don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Under no circumstances should you do that. Cause if they're there and the street and it floods and they die, you're liable for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why it was so sad that the bill didn't get passed in Colorado because, you know, when I tell people now, I'm like, don't ever share your property. Like there's no benefit. There's only risk and like negative potential outcome. It would be nice to say, yeah, go ahead and share if you want to share because you can't get sued if someone gets hurt, right? That should absolve you of liability because many private property owners that I've spoken with over the course of my own journey, they do want to share, you know, like that guy, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't care if you're camping, but down there. And it sucks that we have to kind of weigh legal risk with, you know, moral obligation to share when it doesn't really matter one way or another. And I wish the laws were different because, you know, a lot of property is privately owned and people do like to wander and they do like to access things. And there are enough property owners that really don't care and they like to share. Unfortunately, it's just, it's not smart anymore, you know, in 2024. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, there was a recent case in Wyoming where two properties came together at the corners of the two properties came together just touching so like a quadrants, right? So the upper right and the upper left were private property. Well, the lower right and the upper left were both public property, right? So these hunters were going out and they used a ladder to go over the corner of the property where there are two fences. They didn't cut the fence. They didn't climb over the fence. They never touched the public property. But they got sued for violating the airspace of the private property. And it went to like Wyoming Supreme Court. And
wow.
I think it actually went to a federal court, but the federal court ruled in favor of the hunters. But it's created this whole term called corner cutting. So you can't touch the fence because the fence is on private property. So you have to like use a ladder or whatever to go over the two pieces, right? The four pieces of fence. And it's just like we live in a society that is that bad. It is that litigation happy that you can't.
Yeah.
Is that petty?
Let someone that petty. Yes. That petty.
And you violated my airspace. Like you're flying a fucking jet. Oh.
You can't just move your stake 2 feet that way to create, you know, like a 2 foot opening that people can walk through to access the other piece of public land.
Yeah.
Right? Like that 2 feet, that 37 square inches is my property. And
right.
Come on now, bros. Like, really? Yeah.
I'm so with you on that. I'm so 100% with you on that. I do think there's like a level of just like, come on, man. Like, mm-hmm. can you do it? Yeah. Is it yours? Yeah. But come yes. on. You know, you don't need to be that way. And I think some people are surprised by that because of how hard I fought for mine. But again, mm-hmm. you know, I don't even own an acre, you know, and every foot did matter and every little inch did matter. I'm not saying that if you have more land, you know, it makes it different, but there is a degree of like, come on, like what's the harm? Like, can you just not be a jerk about it?
Well, yeah. And I think Americans too, it's weird for Americans because private property is such a big thing here. And there's that risk of liability in Ireland and in Britain. Actually, I think most of Europe has it. They have a law called Right to Roam. Yep. Which says that you can go on to other people's property as long as you're not hurting anything else, mm-hmm. and you can cross it all you want. But understand that if you get hurt while you're on that property, that is on you. Because yeah, that you knew that you were possibly putting yourself at risk.
What's funny is that the Sierra Club used Right to Roam in their argument against that guy closing, against John closing his property. To the hikers.
It's a British law, though. It's not even an American one.
That's what they did. They cited English
law. We fought a war that they may have heard of at a point in the past to say that we didn't have to give a shit what Britain had to say anymore.
Okay, that's the best comment of the whole night so far.
Yeah, but on to your point, Tara Lynn.
Tara Lynn, please. You know, I met a Tara when I was younger, and I absolutely did not like her. And so it's like tainting me for life.
I've never met a Tara I liked either.
Yeah.
But Tara, to back on your point, I had to look up a quote, mm-hmm. and it's one that I've known for a long time. But it's John Trudell. You know, John Trudell.
The name is sounding familiar. I'm trying to wonder why it is.
Sioux freedom fighter. He was part of the group that took over. Alcatraz. They took over Alcatraz back in the day.
Oh, sure.
Right? Okay. But he has a quote that says, I'm just a human being trying to make it in a world that is very rapidly losing its understanding of being human.
Hmm. Feel that.
Yeah. Yep. So that's my my inspiration for the day. There you go. I'm all inspiration out.
That's some good shit. Oh, so, can we get some here? Sorry.
Oh, absolutely. Cuss away.
Oh, really?
Have you not been hearing Andrew?
You didn't. Yeah. Well, I mean. Okay.
Andrew's wearing a shirt that says it's only treason if you lose. I mean.
I was wondering what his shirt said when he first came on.
This is an
what are you wearing? Are you wearing your
yes, we can cuss.
Drone target patch? Is that what that is, Andrew?
No, it's my my secede or die.
Oh, secede or die. There you go.
Nice. Yeah,
it's from the same place, though, the unfortunately now defunct.
Yeah, Spirit of Resistance. So, but anyway, I forgot where I was going to go with after that.
Oh, yeah, I almost wore my fuck you, I won't do what you tell me patch on my hat tonight. So,
yeah, or the FPC fuck you, no.
Nice.
Yeah, my fuck you know. I got a lot of FPC stuff. I got a sticker on the mic. I got one right here. Like,
so I got the FPC flag. I just don't have it up right now.
So tell us as much as you can, or as much as you want to, about the settlement, about how the county finally said, "Oh, okay."
Wow, right?
Did you beat them into submission, or was it like a mutual, or what?
Yeah. You know what was interesting is you guys ever watch like, you know, Bugs, like the old Bugs Bunny, you know, like Daffy Duck and like Elmer Fudd, right? I can't remember like what episode it is, but they're like going at war. Maybe it's like Wile E. Coyote and like the Roadrunner or something. And they pull up their gun and then the other one pulls up their gun and then it's a bigger gun and then it's more guns and then it's like bazookas, you know, and they're all like getting ready to take aim. And that's kind of what it was like with the settlement offer. So right before the county came to me with a settlement offer, we had just wrapped up mediation not far before that. And in mediation, we didn't get anywhere. And they offered me like, I think $80,000, which I was like, I've already spent way more than that in legal fees. Like, no way. I'm not giving you the entire piece of my backyard for $80,000. Like, you know, piss off. And how then
much did you give up? How many acres?
I ended up giving up 0.099 for a quarter of a million. So 2.5 million for an acre, if you extrapolate.
That's a nice ROI.
It's a nice ROI. I mean, but when you think of the legal fees, it's almost a wash, right? It's almost a wash. And so, you know, there's that. But no, I didn't really beat him into submission. I think what happened, because right around that time, a judge had actually come and issued an initial order. And the judge's initial order agreed with the county on every term. And I was like, that has to be a scare tactic. Because I was hearing from lawyers that sometimes judges do that and then they rule very differently in court and they're trying to get you to behave a certain way before court. So I was like, I think they're trying to scare me and I'm not falling for it. And then they came with a settlement offer and I was like, okay, that validates what I think is that this was just a ploy, right? To like beat me into submission. And their first settlement offer was, you know, not a lot more than the initial offer. It was, you know, enough more, but it wasn't enough to settle. And at the same time that they offered me a settlement, they also filed a motion with the court for what they call a summary judgment. And that's where they were asking the judge to rule in their favor, finally, you know, stamp of approval.
Ah, trying to scare you.
Yeah, they were trying to scare me and they were trying to deny me my day in court. And so they were, you know, doing everything that they possibly could, right? You know, guns were up, they're bringing bazookas, they're bringing rocket launchers. And behind the scenes, I was doing the same. And to this day, I'll never know for sure unless we were able to get them on an interview. But to this day, I believe that they had found out through the grapevine what I was doing behind the scenes, because I had a far right-wing syndicate, like a media syndicate that's very often on Fox News, who was going to fly out to my house and like do a big interview. And that was going to hit national news. I was also meeting with politicians. I'm not going to give any names or any specifics, but one of them is the head of a group with 30,000 members. And he was like, I want you to come speak to them in person. He's like, they're very passionate, that, you know, they're boots on the ground. And we were going to have a protest. I have signs all over my house. Like, we were ready to go. We were going to have a protest starting in Morrison, and we were going to walk on the street, which would have shut it down from Morrison to Kittredge. And then we were going to end the protest in Kittredge. And we had the news ready to come. They were fully aware. So like, we were both just locking and loading everything we could behind the scenes. And then all of a sudden, I feel like the governor or the, you know, some of the senators, because they were all aware of my situation. Like, I had a lot of people behind me helping me to bang the political drum, if you will. It was starting to hit like this boiling point, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And we went from like negotiating back and forth to all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, $250,000 offer. What you need, Mr. Romero? Like, let's just close this out. And I feel like someone told them, make this go away. And make it go away right now, because I was going to get so freaking political with this whole thing. I was going to rent out a movie theater and like hold a screen. Like, we were taking this into another level of fighting back that I don't think anyone here had ever seen before. And I imagine because of the amount of people involved that they were starting to hear maybe some of those rumors, because like that, it just went away. So
nice. The power of publicity, like, you know, that's what kills a lot of people who are trying to, you know, their fights that are trying to, you know, fight back against government is you're never going to win on your own against government. Like, every single hand in that deck is against you. There's no way you're ever going to win on your own. The only way that you can get the support that you need and make them look bad enough is with enough publicity, bringing enough attention to those issues and like saying, hey, you guys might not even realize, because especially like for you, there are probably quite a few other homeowners in Colorado who had no idea that by allowing the public to use sections of their land, they were potentially just going to lose it all at once. And they're like, oh god, what? That's really
Yeah. And Colorado is huge on recreation, especially like mountain biking and hiking. There's that one trail that I mentioned. It's only like 7 miles long, but you get like mm-hmm. 14,000 foot peaks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but I'm sure there's tons and tons and tons of these type of stories of property owners that have no idea.
Right.
That they're at risk of being held liable for somebody being hurt on their own property or public use, using their property that they're being taxed on without their knowledge.
Yep. Yep. So. And it's always the good people, right? It's the good people who say, I want to share. I don't care if my neighbor uses it. I don't care if there's campers. It's the good people who end up getting the short end of the stick in those scenarios.
Well,
because people go from, you know, to your point earlier, right? They go from being grateful to being completely entitled. You know, how could you not think of our memories? Like, we have memories there. Okay, we'll be grateful for them and then move on. Things change. That's life, you know?
They're memories because it's in the past.
Hey, there you go. Well said.
So I meant to ask earlier and just popped back into my head. You mentioned getting the flood study.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How far did the creek move?
It moved basically from one end of my backyard to the other. Maybe that's like 30 feet. Because my backyard is not very wide, like thick, you know. Or not 30 feet. Maybe 70. Oh, shoot. You know what?
Enough.
It moved
further than the creek is wide. Right?
Yeah. It did. Yeah. Further than the creek is wide.
Yeah. Well, makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe 100 feet. Now I'm thinking about it. Maybe 100 feet.
We could keep going. We could get you a couple more acres. Get you.
Well, that's what people were saying. They're like, okay, based on their argument, if the creek just keeps meandering, do you just own people's homes at some point? Like, does it just go until infinity? You know, there has to be a limit to an argument like that. But it was interesting working with fluvial geomorphologists. You know, there's people that do that for a living. And it's pretty fascinating what they look at. You know, they end up looking at the trees, you know, and the age of the trees, the thickness of the trees, obviously the sediment as well. But the trees play a big part, and just like the general growth of the area.
Yeah, you know words like that. I'm not playing Scrabble with you.
Yeah. I had to learn words like that. You know, because early on we were like, oh, no, like, what does accretion mean? Oh, no, what does avulsion mean? And like, who determines what is what? And then we found, oh, you need a fluvial geomorphologist. Okay. You know, so thank God for LinkedIn. It's the only time I ever go on LinkedIn was to find fluvial geomorphologists. And, you know, send them messages. Hey, we need some help.
Oh, it's like being a podiatrist. Like, why would you go into that profession? What drives you to study?
You don't want to know.
Blood.
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah, ew.
Yes. Those are the same people who use high heels as champagne glasses. Okay. You know it is. You know that's what they're doing. Ooh. I do have a joke about a podiatrist.
You were stationed at Fort Bragg. You don't get to talk about champagne. You were married to a stripper. Stop it.
One time. It was one time. I mean, you know, that's all you need.
Are you telling us you're in defeat also? Is that what it is?
No. No, I'm just saying I have a joke about podiatrists. Well, it's about a moth and podiatrists, but it's...
Now you have to tell us.
So now
we're waiting on you.
Yep, I know. Nice.
So moth walks into a podiatrist's office, right, late at night, and he goes, Doc, you got to help me. And the podiatrist goes, okay, well, what can I do for you? And he's like, I just don't know if I can do it anymore. It's my job is awful. My boss is a complete asshole. And, you know, and he just, it's just nothing but nepotism. I'm never going to get anywhere. He's like, my wife, I'm pretty sure she's cheating on me. My daughter is, she's just obsessed with social media. She doesn't care about anything and she's never going to go anywhere. And the podiatrist is like, dude, I'm a foot doctor. I think you need like a psychologist. I don't, and the mom's like, he's like, it's my son, Vasily. He has no concept of how to talk to women, anything else. He's never going to give me grandchildren. He's probably never even going to move out of my house. And it's, and the guy's like, seriously, dude, like I'm a foot doctor. That's what podiatrist means. Not psychologist. You may have misread the sign. And the moth's like, ah. Like the, you know, there are days when I sit in my office and I just, you know, and I open the drawer to grab out a glass and the bottle of whiskey. And I look at the revolver that sits there and it's just, it's all I can do to not just take it and just end everything. And the podiatrist goes, Jesus Christ, man, I am a foot doctor. I am a podiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what's wrong. Why did you even come in here? And the moth goes, oh, light was on.
This is the thing we have to put up with on this podcast.
I think you just said your joke was shit.
Come on, that joke was awesome. I love that joke. Sometimes I usually make it a lot longer. Like I will make people invest 5.5, 6 minutes in that joke for the light was on. And
I was just thinking that that's the fun part of that joke. You can just fill it with whatever. And the whole time I'm like waiting. I'm like, how many feet do a moth have? Like, how many?
I don't want to know. So you mentioned before that there's some things, there's ongoing litigations, right? Mm-hmm. You're not completely done with the situation.
No, I'm going after the people that sold me the house now. And that's, I think, where, you know, folks are like, oh, she's so litigious. You know, this is a sign of our society. I'm like, no, I've never sued anyone in my entire life. I've never needed to have a lawyer in my entire life before this happened. You know, I was just happy to, like, you know, do me, right? And then, like, leave everyone else alone. But when I look back at it, I'm like, you know, the amount of alleged fraud that I'm claiming the homeowners did and the implications that it had for my life, it nearly ruined my life. When I tell you, like, I came out the end smelling like roses, you know, I got a settlement, it all worked out well. It almost didn't work out well. And we still, I was on the phone with the police last week several times because I got this whack job in town who, like, you know, he has admitted it's always been my private property, but he doesn't like the way that I exercise my rights, and he thinks that we should be unalived. And he's made threats against my stepdaughter and her safety, and he was coming around right on my property line that I just sold with a gun. And so, you know, we're on the phone with the cops and the parks department and, like, trying to figure out what to do. So the implications are still there. And when I think back on it, I'm like, these people need to be held accountable. They charged me $40,000 over asking because it was the housing crisis, and that was totally typical. And then they skipped off with a money bag. And when I first asked them to help me, I said, look, I just want you to pay my legal fees, which at the time I think were, you know, 100 and 150 maybe. And they said, no, they weren't obligated. And then, you know, as I'm racking up legal fees and as we're getting into, like, the point of depositions, which if you don't, you know, if your listeners don't know what that is, through the legal process before you go to court, you do depositions where you get to call witnesses in, you subpoena them, you're under oath, you're on video, you have your lawyers with you, and anything you say can and will be used against you in court. And, you know, before all of that, I said, hey, would you guys help me? Would you be a witness for me? And would you tell the county that you, the public, had permission, right? Among other things. And they said, no, we want to stay out of it. And so then I was like, all right, you know, these people are, like, completely unhelpful. In my opinion, they caused the whole thing. I never would have bought the house if they were truthful. And so holding them accountable matters a great deal. I would like to be made whole in my mind for the pain and suffering, but I would also like a lesson for others who think that they're going to do that to somebody. Because a house is, now we're not running around with $80,000 cars over here, you know, but the house is, like, my largest investment, and it is for most people. And to fraud someone on that, that's it. And then to cause the things that happened to our life and our family, you know, it's not right. And I'm a very principled person. So for me, it's about the principle of the thing. And, you know, I love that you said that one guy got an apology from the sheriff and $5. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, look, an apology goes a long way, especially a public one, when these people, you know, in my opinion, cause me to be defamed, shamed, ridiculed publicly. And that's out there forever. You know, now if someone Googles my name, it all comes up. And I'll never be able to get rid of that, you know. Anyway, long-winded answer.
That's what the show is for.
Yeah, I was really impressed too. Like when you posted that video, and then after they apologized, you took it down, which you said you were going to do. Like if you can just apologize to me, I can remove this video, and you did it, which shows you're consistently throughout this whole thing. You've been the one acting in good faith. You've been the one who's like, look, I just want the rights that I'm entitled to. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not being a wicked witch. I'm just trying to go, hey, this is my chunk of land here, and you guys are just trying to like declare that it's not, and you don't get to do that. And they're consistently unfortunately the members of the community, the members of government, are the ones who are constantly not acting in good faith, who are saying one thing, doing another, who are harassing you. The video that you had about like when your neighbors jumped you like outside over trash cans, like that was mental. And unfortunately, I've lived in neighborhoods with neighbors like that, so I totally get it.
It was mental. And you know, my fiance and I are like big, you know, Second Amendment supporters. I've been shooting guns since I was like 6 years old. And you know, we live in an area with mountain lions and bears and all kinds of like predators that come right through my backyard. We see them on the camera all the time. We have multiple cameras. And all I can say about that night, because it happened at like 10:30 at night, is, you know, it's a testament that no one got hurt. And it's a testament to like our self-restraint, because, you know, something could have gone horribly wrong because we were outside on our property at 10:30 at night. And we weren't doing so unarmed, right? Because there is so much wildlife. And for that thing to get that out of hand, it was just crazy. The best part about that story, this is the best part, right? Is everyone in the small town they'd get on this game of like colluding the narrative. So they'd be like, we're going to say this and this, you know, and they'd stick to it and they would meet at each other's houses. We would see them like, you know, convening and then colluding online. And it was incredibly powerful for the first, you know, year and a half. And
colluding in those Facebook pages that they banned you from.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like thousands of people.
And anybody that spoke up for her as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, from an outsider's perspective, they're like, oh, wow, it must be true. You know, everyone is saying the same thing. From our perspective, I'm like, it's the same 6 to 12 people colluding and then saying the same thing and giving the illusion that the community is saying that when it's just a small clique of bullies. Anyway, the night that we got jumped, three cop cars come, right? Because I don't think I ever told the final part of that story. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But anyway, three cop cars came. And the first thing they did is they separated everybody. And they went and talked to us each individually. And we had to wait a while, obviously, for that to conclude. And then the cops came back and they said, no one's story matches up. But we know that you guys have had a really hard time here with these folks. So we encourage them all to get security cameras so that in the future, they can have evidence to corroborate their story. And that to me was like the cherry on top, because, you know, they were saying all kinds of wild things. I won't repeat them here on what happened that night. And the cops were like, yeah, none of that matches. None of your stories are matching up. I'm like, yeah, because they're lying, like always. You know, they were trying to paint it like we were the troublemakers. They said we were on drugs. They're like, they're wild and they're on drugs. And we were trying to calm them down. I'm like, what in the, you know?
I love lies like that, because like, you understand that the cop is standing here talking to me right now. Like, he's having a conversation. I am very clearly not on drugs and insane. So like, you telling him that is a pretty transparently a falsehood.
Right. I didn't get a pupil check or nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, cops know when someone is on drugs. They deal with the public all the time.
They're literally trained in being able to tell.
Yeah,
exactly. just to be fair, cops are trained in a lot of things that they're not necessarily particularly talented at. But
you're not wrong.
True. You're not wrong.
I mean, we have a buddy that was in Colorado that is no longer with us because cops are not particularly trained.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Johnny Hurley,
Arvada.
Yep.
Yeah, Arvada police. He guy shot a cop, went back to his vehicle and got a larger firearm and was going to go do like a mass shooting. Johnny walked out of the army surplus store, shot with the pistol, took him out, and then went over and was clearing the weapon, right? Getting the weapon away from the guy's body. And Arvada cop came up behind Johnny and shot him in the back, in the hip. And Johnny laid there and bled out. Yeah.
Honestly,
that was Arvada Police Department.
Yep.
Yeah.
Forest Mummies City.
No charges in that one. The cop was cleared.
Nope. Of course not.
Cop completely cleared.
It feels like so much of it, you know, hinges on like the training that they get. You know, I don't know too much about it, but the little that I do know, it seems like there's a lot of fear mongering in the training for like early.
Oh, it's a war mentality.
Yeah.
Since the 70s, actually, it's been like
us against them. There's a really great book called Rise of the Warrior Cop that talks about it.
Yeah,
that's a heavy read.
It correlates with the rise of the drug war as well.
Gosh, and like the omnibus crime bill. Who was it that passed the omnibus crime bill? Whose idea was that? Oh yeah, that was Joe Biden. That's right.
So, but I looked up the guy's name. The guy that sued the San Diego County Sheriff, Dimitri Karras. He won $23,000 in legal fees and $20.
Nice.
And then the $20 he donated.
So. And $20. An apology.
Yes, and an apology.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the equivalent of like, if I give you some money out of my wallet, Garth, would that help ease the pain? Like, that's basically what that $20 is.
Well, they're also the one that they went to Home Depot and bought some pipe and some nails and created slam fire shotguns. Right, which is like $8 in pieces at Home Depot. And then took it to a buyback and traded it for $250 gift cards.
Oh, great.
That was Dimitri Karras and his group that did that. And,
which started getting so prevalent that all like any, at least recently, the last couple of years I've noticed is the buybacks have now expressly said that they have to be a certain type of homemade firearm. They can't be slam fire.
They can't be slam fires, yeah.
Like that. Seconds. It has to be a specific type of firearm that you trade in. They don't allow those anymore because of
they won't accept the 10% fill 3D printed ones anymore either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, that's
So what's the plan going forward? Is there I know you mentioned the lawsuit with the previous property owners.
Mm-hmm.
What's the plan with that part of your ex property? I know there's a they have to build a fence.
Yep, they just did actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and they just built a fence, taxpayer funded, which you know I'm part of that, but I'm like, look, I'm not paying for a fence after all this, and so they just put it up. They just did chicken wire as well. So for the first time in 3 years, my property is fully fenced, and my fiance's been talking to some contractors. We want to get a rope bridge to go across so that we can access our property more easily without having to go through the park. We want to get one of those like Japanese soaking tubs that you just like light a fire under and put it down there by the creek along with a sauna. So you can do like a cold plunge and then get hot. So, you know, there's things that we want to invest in to enjoy the property more because it is a really beautiful place. And so we're kind of planning all that. We just got some carpets replaced, like just doing home stuff, you know, things that, you know,
living life.
How much property do you have on the other side of the creek?
Well, probably 0.4 acres.
Okay.
So it's basically just my house and a tiny backyard and then like a little.
But I mean, even 0.4 acres is not an insignificant amount.
Right. It's not. No. Yeah. It's enough. You know, it's enough for us. It's not a ton of land to have all this like drama over. You know, it's not like I owned 1,000 acres and I'm being greedy with like, you know, 0.1 of it.
Corner crossing.
It's like mountain city.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of those things too for me, like watching that whole thing is like there were so many people who seemed to be under the impression that like you had, you know, acres and acres of land and this is just a little section. Why can't you just give it up? And it's like, no, that she's literally got a smaller city lot than I do and is losing like they're trying to take like half of the fucking thing. So
yeah,
it, you'd wind up with a tiny strip of grass like you lived in Manhattan at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me that it is about half, because that would mean that the rest of my property is 0.3-ish. So not 0.4, it's like 0.3. So yeah, it was, yeah, about half.
And that, what was it, 0.099? Right? That's what the city got? Or the county? The county got?
Yeah, 0.099. I mean, you know, when you don't have a lot of land, it, you know, giving up any of it is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, the, like when especially, I look at my backyard, I'm like, oh, especially
with this 2.5-year ordeal.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the lawsuit itself, the whole ordeal since when I moved in to like now, yeah. But the lawsuit itself, I'm actually very proud of how quickly that got wrapped up, because they sued me in July of 2022 and we settled in May of 2023. So it was less than a year. And when people are fighting the government, you know, you hear horror stories. It's like, oh, it's been 5 years. It's been 7 years. It's been a decade. We're appealing. We just got to the Supreme Court. We just lost, you know, and it takes their whole life. It takes their savings. And then they don't get the outcome that they wanted. And I got an outcome that I can be happy with. And it happened in less than a year because of all that political pressure behind the scenes. Right, Andrew, to your point, like if it was just me versus the government, never would I have seen this outcome. But because of everything that we were doing with politicians, with social media, with advocacy groups, it just, and the media, it just started to hit this bubbling point where I'm like, they're experiencing as much pain as I am as elected officials, because they were getting heat. They were getting talked to by senators. They were, I think they also got talked to by the governor. Like, it just was reaching such a level where I'm like, yeah, you're suffering right along with me. We're going to go on this journey together. If you're going to make me go through hell, we're going to go through hell together. I'm not going to be the only one suffering over here. Like, you're going to suffer too, as a politically elected official who is supposed to represent the people. Like, I'm going to come for you. I'm going to come for you real hard. Mm-hmm. And it took a while, but thank goodness, you know, that it kind of hit that boiling point.
It makes you wonder, to the point of our commenter below, how well Heemeyer would have done had he had social media on his side back then. You know, had social media been around, would he have had to resort to the Komatsu and doing what he did to make his point, you know, and going to that extreme, you know, but you had social media because this is a different time, you know,
on the social media front. Jefferson County is not a small county.
No. Half a million.
Yeah. I think I looked up like 568,000 or something. It's a good size county.
Yes.
So, which tells you just how the power of social media, right? The power of the pressure that the public can put on politicians. As you mentioned, right? You guys had a protest all set up, right? You had, what, 3,000 people coming in? Right, yeah, all ready to go.
The total opportunity was 30,000. I think we were expecting we could maybe get a couple hundred, several hundred, you know, maybe 300 or so to kind of march. But yeah, and I wonder, you know, about Heemeyer, you know, people mention him all the time. And I understand why, you know, because that level of frustration, you feel like doing that. You know, when you listen to the intrusive thoughts, you're like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. And it feels so damn good to do it. Yeah, right? See? Is that a patch or is it a magnet?
Yes, it's a patch. I'm a patch junkie. I love patch.
Yeah, we're both, me and Jason, are absolute patch whores.
Well, that's good to know.
but
I just started my collection is very small.
Yeah, looking it up right now, just Kittredge is only 954 people.
Yeah.
Right. So not having 100 people, like having 50 people show up to protest in Kittredge is not a small amount, right? That's very, very public.
Yeah. Well, and these people wouldn't have been from Kittredge. I don't want to give too many specifics, but a lot of these people would have been coming from the southern part of Colorado, where it is more Republican and more red. Yeah. And they were outraged. And, you know, I was spending so much time going to people's houses. You know, I'd go speak to like a group of 10 people. And then the next time I'd go, it'd be 23. And then the next time it'd be 75. And so the critical mass, you know, every time people heard the story, they just got outraged and they wanted to drive. They wanted to come. They wanted to be a part of it. I'm glad it never happened, because that would have been just a whole stratosphere of publicity far beyond social media. Like we were going to hit national news at that point. And, you know, as much as I love the TikTok and stuff like that, you know, I also just, I used to be a quiet person. Now I keep it going because I realized through advocacy and social media, I can help other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that I've realized is just because you're on social media talking about what's happening with your property, it doesn't necessarily mean that you get people invested and get momentum. There's people all over the country who are talking on social media and they don't have a following, or they do have a following, but no one's invested. So they're not writing letters. They're not making phone calls. And so I've kind of hit this magic sweet spot where I've been able to mobilize followers in a way that puts political pressure on those in power who forget who they serve.
That's absolutely fantastic. That's that might be the soundbite. I might have to clip that. Put that out there.
Don't forget Andrew's earlier, because that was good too. On Right to Roam.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to put in perspective. You said it's what, 500,000 roughly for population for the county?
568,000. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The county I live in is 121,000.
The county I live in is 1.3 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. Yeah. That's close to the county I came from.
The neighborhood you live in though, Jason, is larger in population than the city that I live in.
Yeah.
Okay, the high school population the high school I went to is more than
my graduating class had a higher population than Kittredge.
Yeah, that's true. Mine too.
Yeah, my graduating class though, because where I went to high school, my senior class was like 700 and something, so it was most of the size of that city.
Yeah,
I mean it was a magnet school and everything else, but I mean, like, you know, and La Crosse is about 2 hours south of the Twin Cities, so Minneapolis, St. Paul. So, like, you know, when we're talking about warrior cops and all that stuff, like, I'm just south of that. I'm only, what, 3.5 hours from Kenosha? So, like, I'm right in the center of all of that stuff from a few years ago. So, I'm quite acquainted.
So, since the settlement, since the money and property exchanged hands, have the people that were your biggest detractors, has their tone changed? Have they come around to understand once they have? No, she's shaking her head. No.
There's been some like people in the community who have come over and apologized, but they were never really like the big detractors. The people who were like the biggest detractors, the woman who had the quote that you mentioned earlier, like, oh, she's not thinking about our memories. They remain as bitter and hard-headed and angry as ever. And especially because I got a check, and especially because I kept the majority of my backyard. Like they're hateful and they're miserable people. And I think they're always going to be that way. So I'm just waiting for them to pass away. You know, they're all older.
They're all boomers. They'll be gone soon.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we can be patient.
Yes. Yeah. She's quoted a lot in that article that I grabbed that quote from.
God.
Oh, the BuzzFeed article. It's a very thorough article.
They did a great job. That woman interviewed me for like 2 hours, and she was so interested in the community dynamic, which I really appreciated because my TikTok for the most part was all about the legal aspects in many regards and the real estate aspects. But this started because of community and you know, the community wanting something that they felt entitled to. And the way that they captured that was, I think, really beautiful. You know, for BuzzFeed, I'm like, BuzzFeed, you know, they're like clickbait, but they actually did a phenomenal job. And for the first time ever, I was like top trending news when they launched their article above like Paris Hilton and someone else that week. And BuzzFeed gets like 30 million unique readers every month. So that was a big deal. My whole Facebook following is from BuzzFeed, basically.
They told me it was no big deal and to stop being so selfish and that it's my fault for buying property next to a public park.
Yeah, they did.
Well, you shouldn't have bought it if you didn't want to deal with us being shitty. What kind of an attitude is that?
I think there's lead in the water for some of these folks.
I...
Yeah.
Those old school polio vaccines are showing some side effects now, I think.
Yeah, right.
You know, for years they had leaded gasoline when they were young.
I found these paint chips on the windowsill, Mom.
Yeah. We actually, what was that? Was that 2 weeks ago? We actually talked about that. I talked about the lead in from the gasoline, where it turned out that what the scientist who investigated it thought was going to be like 100 times, like what was safe when they were using it, turned out to be like over 1,000 times the safe amount of lead. And that amount of lead, what's considered safe, has actually come down to what, less than 1/10 of what it was at that time.
Yeah.
So, like, to put in perspective how much lead these people did probably ingest, it's a lot.
Wee.
Can't imagine why all their teeth are falling out and they're having all these health problems.
Mm. Yeah, man, it's funny now looking back at all the things they said. It's funny now, and my fiance and I, his name's Mike, we laugh all the time at these people and like reflecting back on things. But man, at the time, it was terrifying. Because, you know, we're sitting here making fun of that mindset and making fun of the entitlement. But at the time, people were like, yes, yes. You know, they were applauding it. They were cheering it. They were encouraging it. They were jumping on the bandwagon. It should be a case study and like a modern day frenzy. I've never seen anything like it. It was just fun for them to come for us, and no one called them out on their bad behavior. Everyone was like, yeah, no, you're right. She's an entitled, you know, stupid bitch who's selfish, and she should have known.
Yeah, there's a line that goes in our circles all the time, and it's, you can't logic somebody out of a position that they hold emotionally.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, you didn't take our memories into account. Well, I'm sorry. excuse me for having the, you know, the law on my side.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Sorry.
Facts over how old, feelings over facts thing.
Yeah.
How old are you? In your 60s? You won't have your memories for much longer anyway, so I wouldn't worry about it. Keep drinking that Diet Coke. It'll work out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, when we talked about on the show, like as we were going, you know, as you were going through that and everything else, and I know me and Josh for sure were watching it pretty intently and stuff, and in tracking it all, and like we kept talking about how like you and your fiance showed so much more restraint than any of us on this show would have, so much more restraint. Like every single one of us would have been in prison so fast.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the universe taught me a lesson. You know, everyone's like, oh, you're so patient. I'm like, I'm not patient. I'm the least patient person I know. And, you know, from a restraint perspective, my whole life, if someone came for me, it was like full bore, like pedal to the metal every single time. And I would annihilate them. They'd be in tears, you know, they'd be crying. And I took great pride in that. But what made this so different was early on, the rumor mill was just running wild, right? Like, you know, these people have attack dogs. These people are calling the cops on kids. You know, these people are harassing families and old ladies.
That was one of the, they're intimidating us with their guns and their dogs, right? And it's just like,
yeah,
dogs bark. I'm sorry. Dogs bark. Yeah.
Well, and my dogs don't even do that, right? When they were like down in the backyard, they're sweet little puppy dogs. And so it was kind of a blessing in disguise because the rumors were so rampant and they were so wild. And I was alone, you know, for a year and a half before TikTok happened. And we were very cognizant of the fact that, like, we can't make any misstep. We can't give them any excuse to say, see, it's all true. Here's a video. And so we were minding our P's, minding our Q's. We had to show restraint for self-preservation. We were getting death threats. People wanted to burn down our house. And again, we didn't have any support. And so it was just the two of us trying to navigate this. And I think that's, you know, like I said, a blessing in disguise, because I was like, we're not gonna give them any excuse to say, see, it's all true, because none of it was true to the degree that they were presenting it. And so yeah, we had to show restraint. That doesn't mean that we like handled it all gracefully. You know, we had many vices and crutches during that time to just get through things, and it was pretty ugly, honestly. It was very messy.
Yeah, well, when you're facing that kind of opponent, I guess, right? That kind of opponent. I mean, you're fighting a county of 568,000 people, right? They have a board of supervisors and this mm-hmm. you know government agency and that government agency, and there's like 37 government agencies that have their back,
yeah,
right? And you're like Tara Lynn Romero and her fiance and her stepdaughter, and you're just like, I mean if it's like, you know, shooting spit wads at a moving train.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unless you slow down and you plan and you really put some serious steel in your spine and mm-hmm. stand up and say no. Right. And put your head in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get ran over by that train.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a story that happens all the, we cover those type of stories yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
So yes, to see the little guy, quote unquote, the little guy win one.
Oh, thanks.
Well, win. I think you called it a win-win.
You know, I did, right? Because yeah. you know, the fact that the community got to keep the one thing that they apparently couldn't live without, I'm like, that's a win, right, guys? You said you needed to dip your toes.
Yeah. The 1/10 of an acre.
Yeah.
Right. The 1/10 of an acre was the difference between them and absolute destruction of the community.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's exactly how it was presented.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sad to see the little guy get ramrodded so often, because I talk to so many people, dozens and dozens of property owners all over the country going through their own issues. Rarely do I make it public on my socials, but very often I'm on the phone. And it either comes down to like, they don't have the finances to fight, or they don't have the resolve. And even if they have the money, and I'm like, look, you know, it's, what is it worth to you? And I think, unfortunately for the commissioners who sued me, and I hope they learned a lesson, is every now and then you're just going to pick the wrong fucking one.
Yeah.
And
what's that,
that's all it came down to, you know, yeah. And I'm the delusional.
The puncher's chance, right?
Yeah. And I'm delusional. You know, they're one of the richest counties in the state, you know, yes. and I'm like, okay, let's go, let's bring it. You know, I'm not afraid of you, and I'm not going to back down, because principle is such a core component of, you know, my essence to a fault sometimes. And my fiance is an entrepreneur, and between the two of them, I get paid to think outside the box. I work in big corporate. I get paid to think outside the box. That's my job. And he gets paid to like toe the line, right? And to like push it at the mm-hmm. same time. And so we have a really high risk tolerance. And so we're like, let's go, you know, let's have some, we're going to have fun with this. We're in a fight. We're in a war, and let's freaking go. And I don't think they'd ever really seen something like that from people that they expected to just steamroll. You know, I think they thought it was going to be easy.
Have you had people on our side of things reach out to you? Institute for Justice, IJ.org, Reason Magazine, anybody like that, like Jim Bovard, anybody like that reach out to you and offer help or for the story or want you to write something or anything like that? Interviews?
Yeah, Institute for Justice, I did get in contact with them. You know, here's the sad thing about organizations like Institute for Justice, and there's several others as well. Mm-hmm. They're doing great work, right? They are really advocating for people who are being completely steamrolled by the system mm-hmm. and bureaucracy and government overreach, and they do win, but they really don't like to get involved at the early stage. Right. Yes. They want to get involved at the point of appeal. They want to get involved at the point of Supreme Court. And they want to know that you're committed to go that way, which I was. But they really don't want to get involved until there's been a court ruled atrocity. Right. So if I would have gone to court and lost, then I probably could have gotten them involved on my appeal. But they're not going to get involved in the front end. And, you know, something that's very true and I think good for people to know, if you're ever thinking about, you know, doing a defending yourself in a lawsuit and kind of weighing, you know, should I settle? Should I fight? My lawyers told me early on, and they were 100% right, is, you know, every leg of the court system is going to be about $200,000 to $250,000. And if you don't have that money up front, you're never going to make it to an appeal. Yeah. So there's kind of, there's like this front end of vulnerability before an organization like IOJ will ever get involved. You have to be able to carry your own and get through that entire front end before you can even be, you know, on the radar for help. And
yeah, I feel like that's a feature, not a flaw.
Yeah.
The way the system works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They want it to be that way specifically because then most people are just going to get steamrolled. It's only going to be the lone little if you've ever seen that meme of the teddy bear with the sword and the great big monster, like there's that lone, mm-hmm. every so often there's the teddy bear that pulls out a sword. They're unprepared for that, but it's they count on the fact that most of the teddy bears do not have swords.
We need a Tara Lynn bear with a sword.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you believe in mantras?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So my mantra after I got sued, and it stayed the whole way through all kinds of trials and tribulations, was I win at the games they make me play. Because to the things that you guys were saying earlier, it's their rules, it's their mm-hmm. system, it's their chessboard, right? And everything's rigged against you. And so I just kept saying, no, I win against the games they make me play. I didn't want to play this damn game. But you know what? Let's go. Let's go. And it worked. You know?
Which is fantastic, because that is such an issue that is on our side of or in our circles, right? So many people, they don't believe in this and that, so they won't use it, right? They won't use the government. They won't use the courts. They won't move all this because, oh, I don't believe in it. Or, oh, it's just all rigged. And they lose. We lose over and over and over and over and over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to that, something like that is just that needs to be everywhere. That's like you should get business cards with that typed on it. And just say, hey, go to the Libertarian convention and just pass them out to people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'd love to go to another one.
Google my story. Watch this podcast.
You should be driving around with one of those "follow me on TikTok" stickers on your car.
Oh my gosh!
Not yet.
I'll get my car keyed so fast around here. Are you kidding? No way, man.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, like we bring up a lot on the show, like with the, you know, don't start fights, but always be prepared to end the fight that someone else started. Nice. And make them regret ever having started that fight in the first place.
I love that. That's the energy right there. That's exactly it. And you have to be delusional. You know, when I talk to property owners, they're like, what did you do? I'm like, I believe, you know, how'd you do it? I'm like, I believed I could. And that was that. That was just it. I'm like, yeah, no, you picked the wrong one. And I never gave a second thought to who was coming for me. I never was like, oh, no, it's the county commissioners and the, you know, one of the richest counties in the state. Like, oh, no. I mean, I was terrified. It was scary. But at the same time, I'm like, you don't know me. You don't know who you just picked a fight with. And you don't know what me and my fiance are capable of when we put our heads together. So lesson learned, you know, and you have to be delusional in a way. You have to believe that you're different. You have to believe that you can beat the odds and do that David and Goliath thing, you know, the little guy.
Romero Kaczynski 2024. Fuck around, find out.
Yeah, exactly. That's the motto right there. Absolutely.
We got a package for you.
Let's go.
Let's do this.
It could be legal documents, or it could be something else. You'll find out when you open the bag.
So we're starting to butt up onto time here. Do you have anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to put out there? Any whatever else, and then throw out your social media links.
Yeah, I'm just so damn grateful. Honestly, this has been a blast. You guys are great. Thank you for following me. I really cannot say that enough. I tell my followers all the time that y'all changed my life. Not only did you guys help me put political pressure, right, by just keeping an open mind and staying aware and like listening for the facts and making up your own, you know, idea on the situation. But after I went through, you know, a year and a half of like fighting the community and dealing with entitled people, like I hated people. I was like, people suck, man. Like fuck this and fuck that and fuck everyone. And my heart almost got like hardened and like blackened and bitter. And because of the social, Right. But because of the social media following, though, I'm like, you guys help me keep my heart. And so I'm very grateful. And it's so nice to be able to, like, you know, interact and like, and meet you all. It really is an honor. And I just, you know, I want to just express as best I can the gratitude, because I'm very, very thankful. And if anyone's going through it, you know, if you've got a property issue or you're dealing with like bullying in the name of community, reach out to me. I will, you know, if I can, I'll always jump on the phone and chat with you one-on-one. And, you know, no one should have to go through it alone. So I try and pay it forward that way. And I am on all the socials, you know, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. So anywhere that you're at, you can find me there if you want to. Wickedy Witch, yeah, or Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, we have your link tree in the description.
Oh, yeah.
Can they find all the social media links there?
Yeah, all the social media links are there. Okay. And a lot of the stories that have happened since the beginning of time. So if you like a rabbit hole and this is the type of thing you like to get into, there's some good reading. Grab some popcorn, grab a glass of wine. It's ludicrous, you know. It's an insane story to look back on. I mean, it's just a tale of entitlement and government overreach, mm-hmm. and the little guy coming out okay in the end, you know? So I think we all need some stories like that, because we need to start winning more often against those big government bullies and, you know, people who want to bully in the name of community.
Yes, we are. As I said at the beginning, we are huge fans of property rights.
Love that.
We talk about it a lot.
every man's home is his castle.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, a big principle for, you know, for anarchism is, you know, is property. Like, that is the core of rights, is that you have a right to your own property. And from that stems, you know, you have a right to yourself because you are your own property. You have, you know, like, you keep what you earn because that's your property. It's really core concept for us. So we talk about it a lot on this show.
I hope more people watch you guys. I'm going to give you a plug as well. You know, one of the most concerning things when we talk about property rights, and it seems like it's happening with like Gen Z and like Gen Alpha, you know, is this narrative that like, you can't own the earth. Like, no one should own the earth. And I'm like, okay, you know, theoretically, sure, I agree with you. We all pass on. We never really own anything. But at the same time, I think it's a really dangerous narrative where they're like, property ownership is bad. I'm like, do you value your freedom? Do you value your pursuit of happiness and living life the way that you want to? Because if you do, you need to have autonomy over your property, whether it's your body, whether it's your dirt. And it's like going right over their heads. And it's a scary thing to think that the younger generation doesn't value or agree with the notion of property rights. So keep doing what you guys are doing. You're doing good work.
That's that I'm just going to split this out there real quick, that the federal government controls or owns 52% of the land in the Western United States. 52% of the land in the Western United States is controlled or owned by the federal government. 89% of the state of Nevada is federally controlled land.
And they have plans to keep expanding that.
Yes, 30 by 30.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Which is just, that's another rabbit hole right there.
Mm-hmm. But don't worry, that whole Agenda 21 thing, that doesn't exist. That's a myth.
Sorry, Andrew, throw out something. Let's get out of here, man.
Well, first, we had a question in the chat. Does your fiance have a business that people could patronize virtually if they're listening and they want to do that?
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. I hope he's okay with it. Nowhere around. Yeah, it's Colorado Cannabis Tours. It's his business.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh.
That is right up the alley of our listeners right there.
Oh yeah. Yes. You can do all kinds of things. You can get a private pickup in an Escalade from the airport. You can smoke a joint while they take you to your hotel, and they have hotel friendly partners for cannabis. You can get on a bus and like go up a Lookout Mountain and see buffalo and see elk.
Well, all right, so we're going to visit Josh.
Woo! Yeah, we're all going to go see Josh in Colorado.
Yes. Yeah, Colorado Cannabis Tours.
Camp out on my 40 acres.
I know. What are you going to do with all that land? That's insane.
first and foremost, we're going to build my wife and my our tiny home. My parents get the main home. We're going to build our tiny home and then start expanding from there, getting a little barn going, a little homestead going, and being self-reliant, gardens, that whole thing.
Love it.
Yeah. So. That's the dream.
Heck yeah. Yeah, that is the dream.
All right, Andrew, those links.
Okay, links. So we are partnered with David Poppins Patches, as most of our listeners know, and I have patches to give away. I haven't really figured out what we want to do for a giveaway. What do we want to do? Do we want to do like share our Facebook post for this video or something? Or like what do we want to do here?
We tried to do this before and it failed horribly.
It did fail horribly because anarchists are not great at following directions.
Well, it also didn't help that our podcast Twitter page, and still to this day is not returned, got deleted, mass deleted with everybody else.
The night of the silent birds, as I like.
Yeah, when was that? Yes. That was what, 2 years ago now?
That was right before the election, yeah.
That was right before the election, yes.
Right before the election. Hundreds of anarchists and libertarians got deleted on Twitter. This is before it got purchased and became X.
And we didn't get like a violation or anything. Yeah, like it literally just all of a sudden our pages stopped.
My original one got disappeared. Everybody, it just gone. Poof.
Yep.
And they still have yet to, even Musk to this day.
Even if you click appeal.
Yeah.
Right. And like you can appeal and you still won't get an email or anything.
Yeah. Musk has not followed through on his promise and released all these other.
So, we'll have to figure out something for the giveaways.
We'll figure out something though. But I have Dave's two tactical bluey patches.
Yes,
to give away. We also have an actual Poppins patches logo patch. We have a Don't Tread on Me muted patch.
There you go.
As well. And I still have two, because I did give one of these away already, of the one that I helped design for first responders.
Awfully quiet tonight.
Awfully quiet tonight.
Yes.
Yes. The perfect patch for the first responder friend in your life. They'll appreciate it a lot, I'm sure. I actually have one on my med bag that's off camera here. I freaking love it. I think it's absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
The guy who used to be the administrator for Lacrosse EMS, he's in my whiskey club, and I gave him one the other night, and he was like, I'm going to order a bunch of these from our former coworkers because fuck those guys. And so that's awesome, but we'll come up with something for giveaway, but I do have a bunch of patches to give away. We are also sponsored by Lions Not Sheep. Super awesome apparel company. I'm a really big fan of their Free Man t-shirt. They have a bunch of other stuff. I have a bunch of patches. I actually still have a patch to give away for them that I haven't bothered to give away yet. Because again, you guys are terrible at obeying the rules of giveaways. Like, I want to give it to somebody and not one person can enter it correctly. It's ridiculous. We're also sponsored by Reaper Brand Apparel. Super awesome company. Super awesome message. If you haven't taken their 10-day life transforming challenge, you definitely should. It is super awesome. If you haven't followed them on Instagram, you also should, because their daily inspirational videos are absolutely incredible. That's super. Dave got emails about the patch. I'm so glad I came up with that. Awesome. That's one of the ones that we've helped him with. We've helped him with the Jolly Roger Roger, the Boogalorian. I think there's a couple others, but super awesome. That one's made in collaboration with us. Let's see. Who else are we sponsored by? Quartering Coffee. The Quartering, they have coffee brand coffee. Check them out. There's discount codes and all that fun shit
in our link tree.
We're also sponsored by RK Spookware. If you make the plastic bang bang shooty boys, you know that you need metal shit for it, and that's what they do. Check them out. Super awesome. It's a good company. It's reliable. We know them. So you're not going to get scammed like actually a few other places have recently turned out to be, for that stuff. So, but you can also get a discount and you support the channel if you use the link in our link tree. I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting. Somebody, I always forget at least one sponsor. So
you're forgetting your beard struggle.
Beard.
Yes. There it is. The Beard Struggle. Beardstruggle.com. You can check out their stuff. They have fantastic scents. Awesome beard oils, shampoos, conditioners, their beard straightener. I think they're up to a 3.0.
You guys do have good fiber. Beards.
Yeah, we're all about the beards here. It's
beards and patches.
Yeah, and their stuff's awesome. Like they're absolutely fantastic. I'm personally a big fan of their Odin's Virtue scent because it's apple cinnamon and oudwood, which is fantastic, but they have lots and lots of others. They just introduced a bunch of new limited edition scents. They have perfumes. They have clones. They have all kinds of cool shit. And if you use code INKEDANARCHIST15, you get 15% off of your entire order, or you can just use the link in the link tree and it save anyway. But definitely check them out. They're our first sponsor. So like, I don't know how the hell I forgot that one, but yes, also check them out. They're absolutely fantastic. Please support the companies that support us.
Yes.
And Derica's book. Buy Derica's book.
Critical
Thinking workbook. Yeah. Our friend Derica wrote a critical thinking workbook.
It is a workbook.
Because she was tired of people not being able to critically think.
Yes. A critical thinking workbook for beginners. It goes through Aristotelian logic. It goes through a bunch of basics of critical thinking. It is a workbook and it is for beginners, people. So do not buy this expecting this to be advanced and packed with stuff and then leave a negative review on Amazon like a bunch of fucking idiots have because they can't use critical thinking.
Also something anarchists and libertarians need.
I need some copies of that for my small town library at the park. You know, those free libraries.
Little free library.
I need to put that in there.
We're a big fan of those too.
Yeah,
those are super fantastic.
So on that note,
enjoy occasionally leaving copies of a few other books like Sedition, Subversion, and Sabotage in little free libraries when I get an opportunity.
Perfect.
So, on that note, Miss Terilyn, you got anything else you want to say?
No, you guys have been great. This has been a lot of fun. I do hope to see you at a libertarian convention at some point in the future. I'm now part of the group chat, so on X. Yeah. So this has been fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. This was a very, very fast 2 hours. That was
fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a fantastic one. We don't get guests super often, but so far the guests we've had have luckily been super great. So we're super, super lucky as a podcast to have really good guests come on.
Well, thank you. This has been a blast.
All right, give us a piece of life advice, Miss Terilyn. Give us a piece of life advice.
Let's see. Believe in yourself. And that sounds stupid as shit, right? But like, honestly, you know, if someone's, just don't doubt your ability to figure something out. Don't doubt your ability to push things in the direction that you want. Mind over matter. Thoughts are absolutely things. Fake it till you make it. If you don't believe it, keep trying until you do. Your mind will convince you. And you'll be amazed what you can accomplish, you know, great things just by believing that you can. So don't let fear take control.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yes, you too can defeat your local government in a matter. If you just keep trying.
I think I'll let Chuck around find out better as part of the story.
On that note, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Peace. Love you. Thank you.